Last Sunday, Sister Sharon shared with us almost the same message. It's the message that we had been studying in Galatians. Did you notice it? How many of you noticed it? The message that we have received last Sunday from Sharon. It's almost the same studying in the book of Galatians. And you know, I realized that one thing that we need to do is that here in America, there are so many pastors and preachers in the TV, right? Even in the radio. Have you noticed it? You don't have to go to church anymore. All you have to do is watch the TV, right? Or listen to the radio. One thing that we all of us have to be aware, that make sure that the message that they are bringing, that you are listening, it's the same message that you are going that to the church where you're going. It's because there is a counter checking. Make sure that the church that you're going is not giving you feeding you a food that are moldy. How many of you have seen a bread that's moldy? It doesn't look good, right? It tastes terrible. So make sure that the church that you're going to or the preacher that you're listening to the TV or to the radio is not giving you a message that are different than what your local church is giving you. Because there's counter-checking. Make sure that you counter-check the messages that you're receiving. How many of you listen to TV? Evangelist. Nobody? Oh, praise God. Oh, there. That's okay. Because, you know, I listen to them too. I listen to Greg Glory. I listen to Rick Warren. I listen to Jack Hayford. And I listen to, who is this guy from Texas? Joel Austin, man, I listen about maybe five or six TV evangelists. But I'm checking with my message, or I'm checking their message with my message, and then I make sure that I'm not giving you an occult kind of message in here. So there is a safeguard of what I'm sharing with you. See, like for example, Sharon, Sister Sharon, she's been our missionary to Kenya for so many years. And she comes in here and the message that she bring last Sunday is almost the same thing that we have been studying for almost 3 months, 4 months. Right? Amen. So I just wanna assure you or give you some hint or give you some idea how to counter check. Yeah, Brother Wayne.
No, they can give out the same scripture as in the Bible, but change one word.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Amen. That sometimes the message that we have here is the same message that Brother Wayne shared with the elderly. Remember, we have an elderly service after this. And Brother Wayne is the one pastoring or preaching over there. Amen? So are you still on the epistle of Paul to Galatians? I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're almost done. Galatians have 6 chapters, and by maybe September we're over, we're done, and we're gonna pray for for the Lord, what's the next message that He wants to deliver to the church? Right? Are you there already? Galatians chapter 5 and verse, we're going to start our study this morning is chapter 5 verse 16 to 26. We're done chapter 5 and then chapter 6. I think we can divide this into two messages on chapter 6. Amen. Are you there already? Chapter 5 verse 16. It says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, here we go, the fruit of the Spirit. If you notice it, the fruit, the word fruit, it's not plural, but it's a singular. But it says that you cannot just pick up one fruit and then you can have it, but no, it's you have to have everything in there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, what else? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with the passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, so let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Wow. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the message of Paul to the Galatians. And Father, not only for them, Lord, but for those who loves you and trust you, and that you alone, O God, have offered your life for us, Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to illuminate to us, Lord, and bring to us the things that we need to do, Lord God, in our life. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The title of my message is the fruits, we shall know them. And during World War II, in that there is a place in Melanesia, which is on that area, and I think this whole place in here, the Solomon Islands, and the Polynesians is somewhere around here, and this is Indonesia and Australia. The Melanesian island here. In World War II, there's the American and the British government army tried to land, and the American and the British army built an airstrip or an airport, and they start bringing airplanes, and the airplanes were loaded with goods and materials to construct military headquarters in that area. And when the airstrip are done, the airplanes start coming in and filling in some goods and even vehicles came in there. But then this these islanders start to amaze how this the government, the American and the British, were able to bring in, make an airstrip or a landing field. So that the islanders was really amazed how this group of people and the islanders, they start to kind of build their own strip, like they build their own landing field, the airport, and they try to build up a control tower, and they even put a lights on that runway. And they start waiting, and there's no airplane came in. So, and as they are waiting, they were discouraged that there is no airplane coming in. See, they didn't realize. And that's in our message this morning, that airplane comes not because they obey the Americans are doing. See, airplane comes because there is a relationship between the person that are sending the airplane. See, there is a connection between people that are sending the airplane and the airplane itself. So the Melanesians islanders, they think that by obedience the airplanes will come. But in our message this morning, the airplane comes and there is goods coming there because there is a relationship, not because of they are obedient to the word. And that's what Paul is saying to us this morning. That by coming to church and looking religious, we think that God will bless us. See? That's a lot of people think that by going to church, by obedience, they will be blessed. See, you will be blessed because there is a relationship. Because there is an intimacy. That's the message that we have. Because there is an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Between us and the Holy Spirit. That's why that things will come. Because there is a relationship between the person that are sending the airplane, between the person that is blessing us. There is a relationship that are existing. And that's all of us. I've been blinded for so many years that we think that by going to church, hey, I made it. But it's not. Right? But it's not. And that's what Paul's trying to emphasize to us this morning. Surely we think we can look spiritual. And then God's blessing will follow. And they are missing. The Melanesians are missing that the cargo comes. There is a big issue. The next trip, there's a big issue. If you Google it, I got it from Google. If you there is a big issue during for 50 years, the Melanesians, that they believe if you Google it more, they believe that because the Seventh-day Adventists came in to their area and they preach about the end times, they think that when the white people come, that's the end of the world. And that's the biggest theology that the Melanesians had kept for 50 years. And they'd been waiting. They think that because of the coming of the Americans and the British, it's going to be the end of the world. And that's what bring this 50-year Chicago Cults in Melanesia. But Paul said that what really are the people are looking to us, to Christians, is that there is a cargo of love and joy and peace and all other things that results too. Because we have the joy, the peace, and the love, here comes the obedience. Not because we are obedient. You see what I'm saying? That sometimes people, they obey before they don't have, but they don't have this kind of cargo in their life. Right? And that's not the cargo that the cargo that they are looking for is the love and the peace and joy. And that the result of that is the obedience of the word. And that set a Christian standard. Rather than they grow out of relationship with God, born of faith in Jesus Christ. See, that's what the important is, growing and having Jesus Christ in their life. Be born out of faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's not to say that no cargo comes to the runway to those who have not genuinely experienced God's grace. So, spiritually speaking, every life bears fruit. The kind of fruit, or I could say that the kind of cargo, depends upon where the life is rooted. Right? So, as we think about the kind of fruit that human lives produces, I'd like to break it into three components this morning. First, we will consider the exclusiveness of the nature of spiritual fruit. And then we will look at the two main varieties of spiritual fruit. The first one is that we've got to pick your fruit. In verses 16 to 17, it says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." So, about 2 years ago, I cannot plant an avocado in our backyard. But when I plant it, I don't expect, maybe Sister Rose will expect a pomegranate. It will build pomegranate because she likes pomegranate. But it doesn't. Whatever you plant, that's what's going to grow. Right? Amen? So, Paul makes the same point here about the spiritual fruit. The life that lives by the Spirit, it doesn't cooperate with the desire of the sinful nature. See, our life that are live in the Spirit, we have to fight back with the fruit of the flesh. The life that in the flesh. They cannot peacefully coexist. When a person puts their faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up a residence in the life. And when the Holy Spirit lives in you, He convicts of sin. And you cannot be satisfied in that way of life anymore. See, when we have the life of Christ, the life of the Spirit inside of us, they cannot coexist with the life of the flesh. They're going to fight back. There's always quarrel between them because the sinfulness, the nature, the natural life and the spiritual life could not live together. Right? There's always a fight. There's always that you cannot sleep at night because there's fighting. You might think it's the burrito that you eat, but it's not. It's the Holy Spirit that's working inside of you. Right? And then that will come a point. No, you know what? I'm not gonna let you allow you to run my life. That's when you have the Spirit living inside of you. You're going to be fighting and fighting until you surrender, until you say, you know what, I give up. Then the natural, the life and the flesh will take over. But then when you fight and fight, the Bible says that you are more what? Victorious. Amen? You have victory already. Amen? So, the first point that Paul makes it to us is that you have to pick your fruit. Which one? If you allow the natural life, the life in the nature allow them to control you, then you're gone. You're history. But if you do not allow the life, the fruit and the flesh, then you have to fight it back. Amen? And that's what Paul's trying to make a point to all of us. Amen? See, in the other hand, when you haven't put your trust in Christ, when you're trying to earn God's favor on your own, it's hard to maintain the outward front wall of Christianity. See, it's hard to maintain when you allowing that, when you don't trust Jesus Christ in your life. And let's go back to the cargo cult analogy. It's hard to keep the runways cleared of overgrowth and to maintain the control tower personnel when the cargo of fruit of the Spirit has not arrived. Because the flesh doesn't really desire to do what is right. Amen? So not only that you got to pick your fruit, which one? But you cannot do it in your own self. You need to need the help of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Or else, this guy here, he's going to overrun you. Amen? That's what Paul is trying to emphasize to us. Because it says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Because what is the sinful nature? The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. So that's the first thing that Paul wants to emphasize to all of us. Because all of us, there is no exemption to us. Do you know that we struggle? And if we allow that guy to control us, then we are in history. Amen? So now, let's look up the two varieties of this fruit. First is the fruit of the flesh. And in verse 19 of Galatians chapter 5, it says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Remember last Sunday? This is what Sister Sharon is sharing with us. The acts of a sinful nature are obvious. That means he said, you know what? It's obvious. It's right there in your face. You can see that. You don't have to blindfold you. It's right there. It says, the acts of a sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry. See the idolatry? And witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So there's a warning already. We have a warning last Sunday, and now here we go again. So there's I just want to highlight it, make a note. That there's a couple of points here. First of all, note with the diversity of this list that we have, most of us do all right with the acts of sinful nature. That really do seems obvious. It's the sexual immorality. See? Sexual immorality. You know what? Do you guys watch Cops in the TV? You know the TV series Cops? No? Yeah, this guy, you know, he will run and then the cops will chase him, and then they will struggle, and then when they interview, no, they said, have you seen that drugs in your car? No, that's not mine. But it found it in their car. But last night, the cops caught the guy and his girlfriend inside at the back of his car. See, the sexual immorality in our culture is so rampant. It is that sexual immorality, drunkenness, orgies, and like. Sister Sharon defined all of this last Sunday, right? Where you guys are here, right? She defined all of this, and I was so I googled this word debauchery. How many of you know what debauchery is? Here's what the Google or Miriam talk about the debauchery. Debauchery is a word we don't use in an everyday language today, but in the King's English, in which the King James Bible was written, it was more of a commonly known word. Debauchery, listen to this. Debauchery means to have immoral conduct or be practicing harmful things or doing offensive things, and could include activity like drunkenness, drug abuse, and sexual immorality, or all three combined together. That's debauchery. See? Idolatry. Can you imagine that idolatry is, we don't know it, but it's part of that Paul is talking about the fruit of our flesh. Idolatry. And that's what God hates more. When the children of Israel, remember the children of Israel, they were delivered from Egypt and they went into the wilderness. Instead of arriving to the promised land within 30 days, they ended up wandering in the wilderness for how many years? 40, 45 years? 40 years? See, when they are in wilderness, these so the another tribe there, they have their own god. And they said, "You know what? We need we want to have our own god." And then the Lord says, "You know what? You want to have your own god? You don't want me to be your god? I'll give you god, not only one or two." So God allowed them to worship their own god. And do you know what they do? Anybody? They built a golden calf, right? See, that's why God hate idolatry, because you're focusing your worship on the natural things instead of the spiritual God that is the one who delivers you from the bondage of sin. Amen? So, what becomes trouble are those that seems little more normal. The impurity, hatred. See, impurity, hatred, discord, jealousy. You see that jealousy? Selfish ambition, dissension, faction, and envy. Jealousy. Can you imagine that even it's the fruit of the flesh? See, what is jealousy? A lot of us have a problem with jealousy, or don't have any problem with jealousy, huh? See, used to be, I don't know right now, but in San Diego, Nanayrin, there's a place there where it's mostly Filipinos, Filipino community. Yeah, and then They say that when your neighbor delivered you a nice big refrigerator, the next day your neighbor will have you deliver it's even bigger refrigerator. See? I don't know if they call it jealousy or envy or, and then when you have a car, nice car, maybe a Lexus in your driveway, by next day, next week, your neighbor might have even an SUV or a nicer car. You see, envy or jealousy, that really put us in a bandage. And sometimes people will buy a house that is 4 or 5 bedroom house and about 500,000, and then you came to you, he said, you know what, I cannot afford that. you cannot buy a new house to because you're envy with that other person. But you know what, it's a sin. It's a fruit of the flesh, and it becomes problematic because it's simple, but it's really ruining your relationship with God. Amen. Drunkenness is more acceptable than witchcraft. Drunkenness is no more acceptable than witchcraft. Jealousy is no less toxic than sexual immorality. All of these are the works of the flesh. So the cargo natural to the life and changed by grace. These are the desires that Paul says, we will not gratify you in living by the Spirit. Amen? So as the note that Paul is quite strong here in condemnation of all this type of behavior, those who live this way, it says, those who live this way, he says, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're living that way, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But you might say, you know what? I believe on Jesus Christ. How can it be when I receive on Him, I trust Him. But if you live that way, that means you maybe not been saved. Right? Maybe you have not saved, because if you are saved and then the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, then he said, this is the kind of lifestyle that the Holy Spirit wants to you. And if you didn't have any conviction and you keep doing and doing, maybe you're not saved. Right? Because a saved person, it's the Holy Spirit living inside of him. There might be a struggle, right? There might be a struggle. But then at the end, you are more than conqueror to those who trust him. Amen? Can I say amen? Can I hear amen? So God is not up there with a stick ready to pound our head at the first mistake. But there's clearly a divine expectation of a changed life in response to and in cooperation of God's grace. Amen? There's always an expectation. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, to take control, then you are more victorious. So the second is the fruit of the flesh, and here's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, verses 22 to 25, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and then what is that? What? Self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So the first thing that jumps out at me here in this contrast between the types of things that Paul lists is being the fruit of the Spirit and those that he lists as a fruit of the flesh. The fruit of the flesh he described as an act of the sinful nature. And they are just that action, behaviors, things that people do. But the fruit of the Spirit, on the other hand, are character traits. They are ways of being. Of course, it goes without saying that this will manifest themselves in a behavior consistent with the life of the Spirit. But it's important to note that the transformation is first internal. Amen? First, before we can see that the fruit of the Spirit is that there is the internal change inside of us. You said, do I have to change that? No, because you don't have power to change it. You don't even have power to change your spouse. It's only God. It's only the Holy Spirit. As you desire Him to come inside of you, which already did, there might be a clash. There might be a power struggle in there, because the fruit of the nature of the fruit, the fruit of the flesh, he's trying to fight that back. He wants to get control of that place in your heart. So it's a struggle. You need to realize that. You have to fight it. Amen? So as it is in the internal change that as a human being are really interested in, like the Melanesian islanders building empty runways, we can attempt to build a Christian life based on that external, but the real cargo never arrives when we do it that way. Amen? A life of external purity in itself will lead only to frustration. If you allow your natural. See? A life of external purity in itself will lead only to frustration, because we cannot forever maintain that passage, that showing up. But a life rooted in faith in Jesus Christ will lead both to a life filled with joy and love and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and to a life that is externally pure. See, it has to come first internally before it can show up to us externally. Amen? Notice this fruit of the Spirit. There is a life that is rooted in faith in Jesus Christ. We lead both to a life filled with love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and to a life that is externally pure. Amen? The very next verse says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. See, you have crucified those passions and desires in the natural life. Amen? A relationship with the source of the cargo means you get both the cargo and the fruit of the Spirit. And the runway, the changed life, and instead of being hard work, which is gradually, that will life is in abundant living. Amen? That's the challenge of Paul to all of us. Isn't that great that Paul, he identified all this, the work of the Spirit, the fruit of the fruit in nature, and then the fruit of the Spirit, so that you don't have to guess which one. I don't have to guess which one of these is the fruit of the Spirit, because he identified all of this. Right? Amen? The fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. We cannot say that anymore, that man, I don't know how, which one is the fruit of the flesh? Because it's already filled it up. Amen? So, a life, a relationship with the source, it means you get both the cargo and the fruit of the Spirit. And then you have a new life of abundance in Christ. Amen? Shall we all stand? And let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the life in the Spirit that Paul has shown to us, Lord God. Lord, we pray that this is not just another Sunday, Lord, but it's a day that we can recoin, or we can take inventory of our life, Lord Jesus, because you're going to come pretty soon, and we're going to be standing before you and take an account, Lord, of what we have done in our life. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord Jesus, and we give you all the glory and honor, Lord God, for what you have done in each one of our life today, Lord. And Lord, we pray that everything that we do, Lord, this morning will be rooted, crafted in our heart, Lord God, that we may be worthy of us calling us your sons and daughters of God. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. Thank you for the tithes and offering that we bring in your storehouse this morning, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen. As we sing as we bring up our tithes and offering, let's sing Hear Our Praises.
Have a bad bless today, but we're gonna have a bad bless next Sunday. But Sister Pia always she always brings something for us to eat, to share. She always shares something for us to eat. But this you might please sit down first before I wanna talk to you. Hey Lawrence, thank you for coming. Okay. I hope you come back.
Yay.
See, remember our contract for this year, this church, we have a contract for 5 years, but it extends. I'm just going to give them. I'm just gonna. It ended up last July or yeah last July and I found a church which is about maybe 500 not across the freeway in Richardson and San Bernardino Avenue, which is close to your house. There's a church there, Assemblies of God Church, and they give us a slot of their time because they have a service from 7 to 12. They have a Bible study and then a service 10 to 12, and then he will allow us to occupy the church from 1 to 3. That means we have what, 2 hours? 2 hours of service. That means after the message, everybody have to leave the parking lot because the another church, the Indonesian church, will come in. Indonesian church will start at four. So there is that slot that they gave it to us for 2 hours, and the fee, it's around between $8 to $1,000. So here, the owner of this house, the new contract starting August, or actually, yeah, started already. Starting August, the amount that they're going to charge us, the monthly is $2,948 plus the $204 is camp. It's a common area maintenance, those grasses and the dumping of trash, that's included in there, part of the contract, which we're gonna be paying starting August last month is $3,153 a month. We paid before that is $3,067. So there's an increase of $85.88. We're going to pay that for the whole year. So there is a difference between the old contract and the new contract of $85.88. So if we take that church, the fee, he said that between $8 and $1,000. Let's say we'll just take $1,000, right? Per month. So that means for the whole year is only 12,000. But you only have 2 hours to congregate. That means after we serve, we have a service. After we're done, we have to go. We cannot have a fellowship like we eat here. Whereas this, the 3,153, you can have 24 hours, 7 days a week in this place. And it's kind of safe. So, what do you think, you guys? I would like to, because the board of that church, they're going to have a meeting on Monday, and they're going to give me a call if that's okay for them to occupy that building for 2 hours.
Is that only a building, or can we use their setup as well? The
setup, they have a one drum. They have a drum set. We can use that too, or we can set up our own drum set here. But the thing is, after that, we fellowship. Maybe we'll fellowship at the buffet. That's another way. Because we cannot use a fellowship hall, because after the service, you're gone. Nanarin, you have any concern? Yeah. Here? No. I think the problem we have to choose Okay, this is what we're going to do. We have to choose money and the fellowship that we have.
What about the budget?
You know what? In God's grace, we never be in a negative. With God's grace, this church never have a negative Sunday. Brother Wayne? So, but I just want to share with you, but that this church, Urban could testify that with you. Sister Camille, our treasurer, is not here today, but we never have a negative Sunday. We praise God, and then I see the difference that we have, that we are paying last contract to this contract, $85. God says, you know what, $85 could not. The difference. A month, not a year, a month. Yeah, a month. So, what do you think, Lawrence? Huh? I'm glad you're able to come and you just jump in a very intimate. Huh? Oh, there's a commitment there. That's showing that we're going to stay here. $85. How about $86? Okay. The $85 is covered. How about next year? How about next year? Anybody would like to pledge? Huh? The $85 a month, that's the increase. Somebody's going to pay for that. For the whole year. For the second year. Does anybody would like to cover for the second year? Anybody? Sister Rose? Okay, Sister Rose will cover the... We're staying? Is that what you're saying? Staying? Man. How about third year? Amen. Amen. So I think we got a clear answer to the pastor of that, because I'm gonna meet him on Monday. Okay. Now there's five elders, only one is present here. Where's Sister Becky? At work. Okay, so I would inform the rest of the elders that the church was overriding by the override for the reason that we're gonna stay. Is that right? We're gonna stay, and the first year is covered. Okay, all right. Is that okay? Are you guys confident? Amen? Amen. We can do it?
We can do it.
All right. We're staying. Amen. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Shall we pray? Shall we all stand and let's pray? Oh, hallelujah. Now I have a confidence. Amen. Lord, we thank you today. Thank you for your goodness, for your kindness to this church, Lord God, and to everybody, Lord, that are here this morning. And Father, we thank you. You carried us, Lord, for 16 years in this place. And just $85 it's nothing to you, Lord, compared to the blessing that you have given to us, Lord God. And Father, we thank you, God. Thank you for the kindness of every person, Lord, that are here, knowing that for trusting you, Lord God, that no one, Lord, that you have seen it all, Lord, that the righteous was not forsaken, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you, God, for every person, Lord, that you indeed, Lord, you're the provider of this church, Lord God. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for blessing us, Lord, today with your presence. And Lord, we praise you and we glorify you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody.